Thank you, Mez. Beautifully read. You might want to keep your Bibles open. Keep them open in Galatians 3. If we haven't met, my name's Toby. I'm one of the elders here. This term we're going through Galatians. Also, we have the talk outline here in the order of service, which are also going to be on the screen. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we come to His Word. Father God, we do thank You for Your Word, and we thank You the way it speaks of how we can have freedom with Jesus. Help us to understand this very dense passage, but also what it means, what happened with Abraham, and how that applies both to the Galatians and us. And help me to preach according to Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. How do you get someone to change their mind? How do you stop someone from making a really foolish decision? You might have a mate who might be buying a car that's a lemon. And you see, I'm not going to get into that debate of which cars are lemons and which cars aren't. Or maybe you've got a friend and she's head over heels fallen for a really dodgy bloke and she can't see it. Or maybe you have a relative that wants to invest in this, you know, pyramid scheme. This dodgy company or a party plan. It's really hard, isn't it? When someone's got their heart on something, they think it's going to be great. They think it's the best thing ever, and you're not saying what they want to hear. What do you do? Sometimes it's hard to be that person. You know, you might have a friend that says, well, everyone else is happy for me. Why can't you just agree with me? Well, sometimes there's the opportunity where you have to change that person's mind. No matter how hard it has to be, you just have to say it. Often we say it at our table at home. There will be no ice cream for those people who don't eat their vegetables. You might have to say that at your house. Or maybe you might have to say to your friend, look, I know that sounds like a great scheme, but I'm not going to give you $1,000 to start off this pyramid scheme. Why am I talking about this? Well, Paul is facing a very hard situation. He's writing a letter to Christians who have lost their way. For those who are visiting, we're looking at a situation where a church has lost its way. Paul visited Galatia, it's kind of eastern Turkey. And the people responded to the gospel of Jesus. They listened, responded to Jesus with faith. But something happened. Some dodgy Jewish Christian false teachers came in and said, no, Jesus isn't enough. You have to become Jewish. And so Paul writes this letter in response. Now, the first two letters, chapters we've been looking at, Paul kind of talks about his credentials and his background. Now in chapter 3, he's focusing on the Galatians. And he doesn't hold back. Why are we singing about Abraham? Some really bizarre hymn. Why are we reading about Abraham? Well, of the 10 Old Testament quotes, 6 of them are in today's passage. But sometimes it might be helpful to start at the finish. You know, sometimes I'll start at the passage, I'll work my way through to the end. But today we're going to do it the other way around. We're going to start with the last verse that Mez read. It's a really helpful summary of the whole passage. Verse 14 in the blue Bibles, that's page 1237. Verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So that when we trust in Jesus, we, who are Gentiles, not Jewish, can receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. And that's the blessing that God promised Abraham long ago. So we're going to look into that. So that's what it's all about. And that's what it's all about, verse 14. Right? So remember that. So let's go back to the start. And you might have heard, as Mez read, there were some pretty full-on statements. Paul starts with 5 questions and he lets them have it. And they are loaded questions. They have an obvious answer. Who bewitched you? Well, it's the false teachers. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing by faith? It's obviously by hearing with faith. In verse 3, why are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh. And it's obvious, why would you begin with God's Spirit and then go from the God's Spirit to try and do it through human efforts? Now notice how it's saying perfected by the flesh. Now in the Greek, that word sarx, it's meaning flesh, human nature. And Paul, he can't believe it. He says, you've received God's perfect Holy Spirit, divine Spirit, and now you're attempting to leave God's Spirit and try and do it in your own human ability. You began with God's perfect Spirit, and now you're trying to make yourself perfect by human nature. How could you be so foolish? Verse 4, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? You've gone through so much. Why give it all up? Throw it all away. We can hear Paul's heartbreak. You were on the right path. Why did you give up? You've received the Holy Spirit. Why would you change? And we don't know the exact circumstances, but we know that they trusted in Jesus, and now they've been persuaded by the false teachers to think that they have to become Jewish. And we too, we need to be on our guard, don't we? There's always people telling us what we need to do. Religious cults targeting Christians. And the obvious example is Jehovah's Witnesses. They actually target Christians because for them, a lot of their converts come from those who go to church. I remember a lady door-knocked my house, and I just love it when the JWs visit. My wife doesn't, she thinks, oh, here goes 2 hours wasted, but anyway. The lady knocked at my door. Hello, yes, I'm a Presbyterian, come on in. And she says, oh, yes, I was an Anglican, but I wanted more, so I became a Jehovah's Witness. You should too. We got talking. There's all kinds of groups that saying you don't need Jesus, you need other stuff. But they don't just come in nice suits and nice shirts and call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. They take many forms. They come as the community self-help groups, the sporting, the leisure groups, the house renovation project groups. The work hard, maybe have two jobs to provide for your family group, the family and friends group, or the come to the lake on a Sunday morning group and barrack and cheer group. There are many groups trying to get our attention and loyalty. Don't believe the lies. You know, that lie that you can be a Christian without going to church. As I was saying, you can be a parent and not have a child. It doesn't work. We need to stay with Jesus and his church. No matter who says it, as Paul says, stick with Jesus. And so we get back to the passage. Paul's reminding the Galatians of how God has worked in them. Verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteous? God has worked miraculously in this church. They've gone from being selfish people to become selfless people, servants that are full of love. How did this happen? How did God work in you? By faith in Jesus. And then he refers to Abraham, the father of Israel, the patriarch. And it's a great argument because all the Jews held Abraham as their founding father. That he was the founder of Israel, the nation, and religion. And so you can see it is just the best place for Paul to go. It is an epic move. Because the assumption by the false teachers is, we're doing what Abraham did. You do too. Do what Abraham did. Abraham kept the law and received God's favor. No, he didn't. Paul is going to refer to Abraham to prove that the law isn't what saves, that the law isn't what made Abraham right. And Paul uses Abraham because it was Abraham that God established his covenant, and the covenant was the sign of circumcision. But when did Abraham be declared righteous by God? Well, as Mez read, it's in Genesis 15. Our first Bible reading, it was a really encouraging point that Abraham needed. You might remember Genesis 14, a Lot has been captured. Abraham's had to get his troops and rescue his nephew Lot, but he fears for his life. He says, I've destroyed these kings, others may come and take my life. And he and his wife, they're old. I'm not talking old, I'm talking real old, like they're in their 90s old. And they haven't had children. All right, don't look at anyone, just keep your eyes at the front, right? But imagine someone trying to have a baby at 90. That doesn't happen, does it? Don't worry, sisters, it won't happen. Abraham's petrified. What's going to happen? And God encourages him. He takes him out to the dark. He said, look up at the night sky. Can you count the stars? How many? And of course he can't. And the Lord declares to Abraham in verse 5, so shall your offspring be. The Lord declared to Abraham in his 90s that he would have more descendants than the stars. And what happened? Abraham believed the Lord's statement. Key moment in Abraham's life. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteous. He believed that he would have as many descendants as the stars, and so God counted him as righteous. It wasn't that he got circumcised. It wasn't that he kept the law. It was his faith in God's promise. Do you see how Paul completely destroys the false teacher's arguments? Paul's highlighting that Abraham was declared righteous because he believed God. It was after years of waiting for a son to be born. When God showed him the stars, it was at that point he said, yes, I believe you, God. And that's when God declared him righteous. Now, the righteous is like conferring a legal statute of Abraham. He was treated as righteous, free from condemnation, even though Abraham himself wasn't a good, wholesome, perfect person. Like that happened in chapter 15. We got it up on the screen, please. Chapter 15, Abraham's declared righteous. Chapter 16, what does he do? The worst mistake of his life. What does he do? His wife says, look, I'm old, I'm after 90, I can't have a kid. How about my maidservant Hagar? What does Abraham do? He says, no, I trust in the Lord. No, he says, no, righto, good idea, wife. And then he goes and has a child. That's not a righteous move, is it? That's a lack of faith. That's disobedience. And what do we have? We have generations of conflict in the Middle East because of chapter 16. Chapter 17, Abraham was circumcised. The covenant was established. You see what Paul's saying? Abraham wasn't righteous because of his actions. Chapter 16 proves that. He wasn't righteous because of his circumcision. No, he was declared righteous in chapter 15. So you can see his point. The law doesn't do it. Circumcision doesn't do it. What made Abraham righteous was his faith in God. He had faith in God and his promises. And so then Paul does the uppercut, the knockout punch, and so the real descendants of Abraham are those who aren't biologically descendants, but those who, like Abraham, believe in God. The false teachers are using the Old Testament to say to the Galatians, you need to become Jewish, become like Abraham. And Paul's saying, you need to become like Abraham, you need to believe, not just follow the rules. But then Paul doesn't stop there, he goes even further. And he says, look at Abraham and God's promises to Abraham. You, Galatians, are the fruits of God's promise. Remember, back in Genesis 12, God called Abram to leave his family and to go west. Up on the screen, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now this is the key, this is the starting of Israel. God calls Abram, says, three things I promise you. Land. Promised land, you know, we're still fighting over the promised land. Nation, you're going to become a great nation, many descendants, and you become a blessing to all nations. That last phrase at the bottom, in you, as in your descendants, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And you see, that's what Paul's picking up, that third promise in verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Now think about Abraham and his descendants. How have they been a blessing to the nations? Now, Abraham was more of a curse than a blessing, wasn't he? He lied to kings about his wife. He fought with some. Solomon, maybe the greatest in the Old Testament to be a blessing. He took all their daughters as wives. That was a blessing, maybe. He was very wise. He had great commerce. But it's clear in the Bible that only Jesus actually fulfills this promise from Genesis 12. Only Jesus is the descendant of Abraham who is actually a blessing for all nations. And Paul writes, the Galatians, you are the evidence of this promise. You've responded to the gospel, having placed your faith in Jesus, you're justified. It was always God's plan to bless all the nations through Abraham's descendants, and that's you. And so he goes on, verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You see how he's completely spun the argument around. The false teachers are saying you have to be Jewish. And Paul says, no, you have to be the ultimate Jewish person. You have to be like Abraham, the man of faith. But it's not about the law. It's about belief, trusting in Jesus. That's massive. Not only that, God promised to Abraham that one of his descendants would be a blessing to all nations, and you are evidence of that. Massive. Now Paul then changes tact and addresses a problem of the law. We read in verse 10, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide in all the things written in the book of the law and do them. He's quoting from Deuteronomy 27. He's saying, unless you can keep the law perfectly, you are going to be a curse. Humans, we're not perfect, are we? We can't do the right thing even when on our best days. We're unable to obey completely. Thus, we're under a curse. The law is in a way of helping you see that you are not perfect. And Paul's argument is, if you can't keep the law perfectly, then you're under the curse of the law. That's why he's calling the Galatians so foolish. You had freedom, and then you went back under the law. We have freedom in Christ. Why? Because Christ willingly became the curse for us. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. Again, Paul quoting Deuteronomy 21, in the Old Testament, how we are executed, normally stoned to death, and then the body was hung on the tree as divine judgment, a symbol of divine judgment. Sound familiar? Jesus dying on a wooden cross is divine judgment. Jesus, who was perfect, became a curse. Christ, who was perfect, became cursed to redeem people like us. So if no one apart from Christ is perfect in following the law, then no one can be declared right through the law. As Paul states in verse 11, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. As a simple phrase, the righteous shall live by faith. And you see the footnote there, number 5, it's actually from Habakkuk, a minor prophet in the Old Testament. Now, Habakkuk was around when things were horrible. God's people were suffering. They were being invaded by others. Life was tough. But God was still good and worth following. The righteous will live by faith. The righteous, even when everything looks hopeless, like Abraham, will live by faith. They're not righteous because of what they do. They are righteous in God's sight because of their faith in God and His promises. It makes sense that they're righteous because of God, because no one can be perfect. Only God is good. They are righteous because of God's favor, of His grace. They don't trust in themselves, they trust in God. The righteous will live by faith. That's a great summary of how God's people are to live, is it not? We are God's people. We are to live by faith. We don't live dependent on how we feel. You know, I'm feeling pretty alone. I'm feeling pretty sad. No. We are God's people. We don't live dependent on our circumstances. As God's people, we live by faith. Not faith in ourselves, faith in God. The righteous will live by faith. Really easy to say, but it can be challenging to do. Live by faith, even if your body isn't doing what it should. Live by faith, even if it's an amazing thing just to get out of bed. Live by faith, even if those around you who should be loving and supporting you are hurting you. Live by faith, especially when you fall into temptation, into sin, and do what you shouldn't. Live by faith, even when the sun is shining and everything is great. As Christians, we live by faith, faith in Jesus. His ability to save us, His righteousness, His sacrifice on the cross. We are declared right, made righteous, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus has done. And there's a problem for the Galatians. They have that faith in Jesus, and now they're trying to have faith in themselves. And it's foolishness. They're going from having faith in Jesus to becoming religious. And religious isn't about faith, it's about rules and regulations. Verse 12, but the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. And see it with those that are religious. It's all about keeping the rules. Do this, don't do that. But the problem is you never know if you've done enough. You never know if you're good enough. And so you're either feeling really good and proud that I'm pretty special because I've done this and this, or you're feeling really scared and insecure because you just don't know if you've done enough. A roller coaster of emotions, never quite sure. But when we have faith in Jesus, it doesn't matter how we feel. What matters is Jesus. Being a Christian is completely different. Why? Because it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And what's the result of all this? Well, we go back where we started, verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. For the Galatians, if they trust in Jesus, they will receive the blessing promised to Abraham years ago. They receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus. And so Paul is asking, how could you be so foolish to leave Jesus? And we ask ourselves the same question, how could we be so foolish to think we don't need Jesus? The Galatians had lost their way. Instead of living by faith, they'd moved to trust in laws, in religion. And this thing for us too, isn't it? We turn to Jesus, we become Christians. It's the gospel which saves us. But the gospel isn't just for the start of our faith. The gospel is for our entire Christian journey. We need Jesus at the beginning and at the end. Tim Keller says, we as Christians are not just saved by the gospel, we grow applying the gospel in every area of our life. We as Christians are not just saved by the gospel, we grow by applying the gospel to every area of our life. The gospel is such wonderful news because it humbles us. We never take pride in what we do. The humbleness is that showing that we are sinners, that we need a Saviour. But at the same time, it is the most encouraging thing because of Jesus. We are declared right. We are God's people. And the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at how we've become adopted as God's children. A wonderful blessing that we have. Brothers and sisters, be warned. There are many who are trying to tell us we don't need Jesus, that we can do it ourselves, that we're good enough. But the Bible is clear. Jesus is the only one good enough, and Jesus is the one we depend on all our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the way in which Paul can explain so clearly that the Galatians are to be like Abraham, that they are to trust in Jesus. Father God, we do pray for those that are caught up in cults, in religious sects, where it's all about what you do, it's all about earning your way. Father God, help them to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father God, help us to not rely on ourselves, but to rely on Jesus. Help us not just to start with Jesus, but to stay with Jesus all our days. And Father God, for those of us who have questions, help us to read, help us to ask for the answers that we seek. And Father God, we pray that you would make it clear to us how we can be like Abraham, how we, when we trust you, can be declared righteous. Father God, we thank you that we have that opportunity to live by faith. Lord, help us not to live by rules, not to live by how we feel, not to live by whatever standards other people have. Help us to live by faith in Jesus all our days. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.